good, huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 5. Praise God. Sure love all of you. Glory to God. Just believe in God's going to do some good things for you this year. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5. We're getting ready to start a new series probably next week, but in the last 2 weeks, we talked about thoughts and how the devil works, right?
Yes.
And that we have something to do with our thoughts. And it's not to meditate on the wrong thoughts. It's not to imagine things. It's to bring them to the Word and respond. And then we saw last week that the devil works through fear, doesn't he?
Right.
And a lot of times people think that the healing is their problem, and they're not getting their healing because the healing is the problem, or because the finances are the problem. And the whole root of the problem is because they're gripped with fear. And before you go into, you know, Jesus always wants us to go into peace, and faith is peace. Well, you can't be in faith if you're afraid. And so you need to deal with those things, right? And we saw you how to do, showed you how to do that. And today we're going to just finish it off and cap this thing off. And just I just felt in my spirit, we're not done yet. I need to put something more into you. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's trust God and believe Him that I accomplished that. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful to be here and so thankful for Your Word. Father, Your Word brings light to us. The entrance of it brings light. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that You said when we would know the truth, it would set us free. Father, You don't want us to be in bondage to anything, to wrong thoughts, to fear, to depression, to anxiety, to sickness, to poverty. Father, You want us to live free. And Lord, You promised us, You said that You came to give us the abundant life, or the Zoe, the God kind of life. And Lord, You prayed a prayer one time, and You said that the will of God to take place on the earth as it is in heaven. Well, Father, there's nothing but freedom and joy and peace in heaven. So, Father, we thank You that Your will for our lives is heaven on earth. And, Father, it comes through the preaching and the teaching of the Word. When the Word comes in and we get enlightened to it, and then we become doers of the Word, and we watch our situations change. So, Father, we thank You for that this morning. We give You the glory. We give You the praise. We thank You that what I say today will strike a chord in everybody's heart, Father. I'm asking You to do that, Lord. You know what everybody's going through. You know the questions they have. You know the problems that they're facing, the trials that they're going through. So, Lord, I thank You that I say something that strikes a bullseye in their heart this morning, and they'll know that that was for them. And, Father, it'll be a sign unto them that You love them and that You care for them and that You're with them through this thing. And we give You the praise. We give You the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one word from God can change everything. It can set you. I mean, it's happened to me numerous times, just one word from the Lord in a service, and it might not be spectacular, but it's supernatural, amen? And so praise God's belief for that this morning. But Mark chapter 5, as we looked at this story last week, and I want to just kind of real quickly touch on it so we can launch into where we're going today, praise God, and get this thing out of my way here. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, Jesus," Mark 5:22, "when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And verse 24 says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him," or grasped and touched him. Now, this is what you need to see here, is there was a desperate situation, wasn't there? This portion of scripture means a whole lot more to me now that I have a little baby girl who actually just turned 10 months this week. And you know, I can't imagine her ever being at the point of death and what that must do to a parent and the absolute pressure and the fear that could come upon them. And so it was a bad situation, and he cried out to Jesus. In verse 24 is the will of God in action. Now, Jesus, see, it's important to know this going forward. The Bible says Jesus went with him. Well, Jesus didn't go with him to waste his time or to get the guy's hope up. Because we know the end of the story, what happens? The little girl gets healed, right? We'll just spoil it for you right now. If you never read the end of the story, she makes it, and she's fine. And we know that because Jesus went with him. But what I want you to see is when Jesus went on the way to Jairus' house to heal this little girl, that was God. Remember Jesus said, "I'm only here to do the Father's will." He only did what God wanted him to do. And if you're struggling in the area of believing that God's a healer, well, just look at the life of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I can only do what my Father wants, and I can only do the will of the Father. Well, Jesus, everywhere he went, he healed people, didn't he? Showing that it is a demonstration of the Father, that God is interested in healing. And so when Jesus went with him, that was a sign saying, my will is to heal this little girl. So the word or the will of God for this situation was for that little girl to make it, right? Jesus wouldn't have gone there to waste time or to fail. He never failed where he went. He wasn't going to go there and get the guy's hopes up. By him saying, yes, I'll come with you, he's saying, yeah, the will of God is to heal this little girl, which is important. And then in verses 25 down through 34, we don't need to read that. As Jesus is on his way with Jairus, he runs into the woman with the issue of blood, remember? Suffered 12 years, suffered many things, and many physicians spent all she had, grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. And she ran into Jesus. In verse 34 of Mark chapter 5, it says, and he said to her, now remember, he's on his way to heal this little girl, and he runs into another lady. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. Now, verse 35, if you could go to that, it says, while he yet spake. Well, what was he yet speaking? He was speaking to the woman with the issue of blood. He was saying to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. While he was saying that, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus' house, that said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the master any further? Now, here's what you need to see. This situation went from bad to the worst possible situation that could be in this situation, which was she died. And so, but here's what you need to understand, and this is what you need to see for your own life, is that the will of God was healing for this little girl. But then something happened in the natural that actually went backwards from what the will of God was. You know that the will of God, there's a lot of things that are the will of God for people's lives that they're not living. The will of God is for you to always live blessed. The will of God is for you to always have more than enough. The will of God is for you to live a complete and healthy life. You know, there's so many things in the Word that point to that. But one thing that sticks out to me is, you know, the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. Do you think God would want his own body to be sick? Absolutely not. No, but a lot of Christians do live in sickness and disease. And that's not coming down on them or saying that they're bad. There's help for that is what we're saying. And sometimes, you know, there's will of God for your children, and it can look like it's going in the wrong direction for healing. It can look like it's going in the wrong direction financially. It can look like it's going the wrong direction for your children. And how many of you ever had circumstances? They don't get better. They just seem to get worse. Well, this was a situation where the circumstance actually got worse. Now, it's interesting to see what Jesus' response was. Now, again, he wasn't just playing I'm here on earth for 33 and a half years just to impress people. He was our example. He was the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one we look to how to be successful. If I can get the church to do what Jesus did in all situations, I can get you to be pretty darn blessed. Amen? Because he never failed and never had issues where, not that he didn't have trials and troubles, but he responded the right way. And so Jesus, it says here, as they came to him and said he's dead, so the will of God is healing. But then the natural showed up and said, nope, it's going backwards from healing. She's now dead. Well, look at what Jesus did in verse 36. And we saw this last week. As soon, everybody say as soon, because it's important that when ding-dong, I'm not calling you a ding-dong, that's your doorbell if you didn't know. When ding-dong or knock-knock, all of a sudden you open the door and hell is staring you in the face, it's important how you respond. Because how you respond, and you're going to see in another portion of Scripture, is everything. As soon as Jesus heard the word, or you could say it this way, as soon as opposition came, or as soon as what opposite of what the word of God came, Jesus did something about it. Notice he didn't sit by. Notice Jesus didn't start to sulk. Notice Jesus didn't start to whine, say, oh, the word doesn't work. Here, pastor's preaching about healing, and I came down with the biggest sickness of my life. Here, pastor's preaching about me wanting to be blessed, or me supposed to be blessed, and I got the biggest financial test and trial of my life. No. Jesus didn't all of a sudden say, God, Jesus only did what God did. So when this guy came to him to heal his little girl, Jesus had to have had some connection with heaven, and heaven telling him, yes, I want her healed. So Jesus didn't all of a sudden say, Lord, God, you told me to heal her. Now she's dead. This stuff doesn't work. The word doesn't work. That's what the devil will trick people into thinking. It's amazing how, I remember I'd get in the light of financial things. I'd get so excited about it and then go through financial hell. Yeah, that's how it works. Or I get the light, a revelation on healing, and come down with a sickness that week. Why? The Bible says one of the, see, get this in your head right now. The Bible says one of the things that Satan does is he comes to steal the word immediately. He comes to steal the word. He's trying to get you, if he can get you to have any doubt, because if you are, remember we said if you're a circumstance believer, if you're a natural believer, you're going to really struggle with being blessed. If you're somebody that believes the natural more than believes the word of God, this is going to be tough for you. And if the devil can get you to hang on to the circumstances more than he can get you to hang on to what the word is, then he's got you. But as soon as Jesus heard opposition to the word of God, what's that mean for your own life? As soon as a sickness tries to rear its head, ugly head on you, you ought to do something about it. As soon as financial hell shows up and tries to wreak havoc on you, don't get sulky, don't get down, don't get discouraged, don't get full of doubt, don't get full of moaning and groaning and complaint. Do what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, that's why we're here. We're going to find out today. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith. He spoke. As soon as the opposition came, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. Because he knew he needed the parents' faith to heal this child in this situation. And so as soon as Jesus heard the word, he said, be not afraid, only believe. You know, if I could get you, let me just say it this way. If I have land, and I have a little bit of land, and it's posted, if I see a group of hunters come walking on my property, and I'm looking through the window, and there they are with their orange camouflage on, walking on my property, and that's posted, and trust me, when I post my property, we post it good. Like, there's no, like, we didn't see the posted signs. Like, that's not going to fly. That's just not the truth, you know. And if they come on there, I'm not just going to sit in my house. Oh, wow. Here I am paying the taxes on that land. Here I'm the one keeping up for me and my family and trying to enjoy it for myself. I'm talking, it's one thing people maybe come and ask, but I'm talking about just people taking the liberties to do whatever they want to. And I'm not going to just sit there, oh, you know, how fun. I hope they do really well. I hope they just shoot up the woods. And, you know, I'm not going to just sit there. I'm going to react, and I'm going to react as soon as possible. I'm not even going to let them get into my woods, right? And it's the same way when opposition comes that is contrary to the word of God, you ought not to just sit back. It ought to make you mad. It makes me mad when people come walking on my property when it's got blazing yellow posted signs on every tree that you can imagine, right? Of course, there's ways to post it properly, and we do. But it's, and then they say, oh, we didn't know. That's okay, we'll just let you be. People just all the time just put up with what the devil does in their life, and you shouldn't do that. It's sickness, poverty, depression, fear and anxiety, worry, and all these things are trespassing on your life. They don't belong in the Christian's life. Jesus said, I've come to give you peace, perfect peace. Well, perfect peace isn't anxiety, it's not fear. It's not depression, it's not sickness, it's not poverty. And so when these things come, a holy anger ought to rise up on the inside of you. I'll tell you, nothing ticks me. Can I say ticks me off? Is that okay to say that here today? I mean, we're just being real, right? Nothing ticks me off more when symptoms get on my child's body. Because I have a covenant of healing with God. And it doesn't mean that God's not true or that healing's not true. It means that there's an enemy trying to do something. And when something gets on my child, you want to see my face get red. You want to see steam start coming out my ears. It's when that happens. I don't sit back. No, we deal with that thing. And we tell the devil where to go because it doesn't belong on my child. Or when the devil shows up, we don't sit back. We get angry, a holy anger, and do something about it. Now go with me to Luke chapter 4. Praise God. Luke chapter 4. So Jesus responded, glory to God, Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Remember, we talked about the week before thoughts, how the devil works with you. We talked about fear, which what I'm trying to teach you is how to respond right. Because how you respond makes all the difference in the world. Luke chapter 4. Hold your place there real quick, because I want to make sure we get back there real quick, and flip backwards to Matthew 12 and verse 37. Let me show you a verse before we go on that'll kind of help cement what we're doing here. Matthew 12 and verse 37. Praise the Lord. I want you to see this because remember, Jesus answered. As soon as opposition came, he spoke. Verse 37, it says, for by whose words? Thy. That's just a good old-fashioned way of saying your. By your words, you will be justified. And by what? Your words, you'll be condemned. You could say it this way. By your words or by how you respond or by what you say, you'll pass. Or by what you say or lack of what you say, you'll fail. Your words justify you or your words condemn you, right? Hallelujah. So now let's go back to Luke chapter 4 and you'll see it'll be more clear now. Luke chapter 4 in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, or you could say tested of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now notice this in verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now here's the thing. People say, well, what would be the big deal if Jesus turned stone into bread? What would be the big deal about that? He was hungry. Well, there'd be a couple things. Number one, he was there for a purpose and was led to fast. Number two, he would have been obeying the devil. Right? But there was a temptation there to do that because he was hungry. And notice what Jesus said when a temptation or a test came his way. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So do you see that in test number one? Now, the Bible here tells us about three tests. That doesn't mean that was the only test he encountered in those 40 days. These are just the three that the Bible mentions to us. But it's interesting that when the devil tested him, and remember, the devil's only power against you is what? The power of deception. The power of suggestion. If he could kill you, he'd have done it already. He can't, but he can suggest things in your mind. He can get you to grab hold of wrong thinking. And if he can get you to believe wrong, he can get you to live wrong. And I don't just mean bad habits and living in sin. I'm talking about not living by faith. And so the devil will plant a seed in your head, and you need to respond. And so he planted a seed in Jesus' head. Remember, that's how he did it with Adam and Eve? He said, God didn't say that. And in fact, if you do what God said not to do, you'll actually be in a better position. Didn't he say that to him? God said, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't do it, you'll die. The devil came along and said, you won't die. Actually, you'll be like a god. Ooh, that sounds good, right? And they get that thought in their head. And instead of responding, you know what Adam and Eve should have done? They should have said, it is written in Genesis chapter 2 and verse whatever, God told us not to do this. But they didn't. They grabbed a hold of it. And the devil put a thought in Jesus' head and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Now this is interesting. Such insight into things in this next verse. And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power. Now remember, the devil's showing him the kingdoms of the world we live in. He says, all this power I will give to you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He's saying, all this power, Jesus, he took him on a high mountain, all the kingdoms of the world that you see, he said, I will give you the power and the glory therein. And it's what's interesting when you study that word glory, it's talking about the financial being of those kingdoms. It gives you insight into who is running the show financially down here on planet Earth. But he says, I'll give it to you if, verse 7, you'll worship me, all will be yours. Now this is what you have to see, because immediately you read that, and if you have a religious mindset that says God is in control of planet Earth, you'll immediately say, the devil was lying here. See, the devil wasn't lying here. He did have the power to give it to Jesus. Remember the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted? Now, would it be a temptation if Jesus already knew that the devil couldn't give that to him? What kind of a temptation would it be if he really didn't have it to give it to him? He did, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan's the god of this world. And notice it says, if you could go back, Michelle, I'm just trying to help you here, verse 6, it says at the end of that verse, I will give you all the glory, the power, for that is delivered unto me. Who delivered the power of planet Earth to the devil? Adam and Eve. God told them in the beginning, I'm giving you, Adam and Eve, the power to run this planet. And then they obeyed Satan, right? And they handed over the authority and the dominion. And now the devil's telling Jesus, look at the kingdoms of the world and the power and the glory. I will give it all to you. Because remember, the devil knew he got Adam and Eve to listen to him, and he took authority over them. If the devil can get Jesus to obey him, the devil then goes over top of Jesus, and now Jesus is the devil's servant. He knew And so Jesus, for a second there, we don't know how long, but the Bible says he was tempted.
Sure.
And this will help you. If you get wrong thoughts, don't beat yourself up. Just don't live by those wrong thoughts. If you have temptations that come your way, don't beat yourself up. I'll tell you, it's amazing some of the thoughts that zing through my head. You would want to probably just have me removed from being a pastor, right? Just, I mean, I don't even know where they come from. Zoom! Thoughts about different things and different people and just not what, I mean, you name it, right? Well, I don't sit there and beat myself up over. I just don't sit there and meditate on them. What did one minister say? You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, right? But you can stop them from building a nest in your hair, right? The temptations can come and the thoughts can come, but doesn't mean you have to live by them. And the Bible says Jesus was tempted. So there was a moment in time when the devil said, I'll give it all to you, that Jesus inside himself said, wow, that seems good. But he didn't obey it. And he never sinned. So it shows us that a temptation does not mean you're sinning. Praise God. And anyway, so there was a big temptation, a big test here. Huge test. Imagine being offered the power of planet Earth. Imagine that. That would be a temptation to be ruler of the world. My goodness. Hallelujah. That would be a temptation. But Jesus answered. Jesus answered. He was in a test and he answered. He said something. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God and him only shall you serve. Devil, so now this is what you need to understand. There was one minister, Brother Hagin, they said, you know, he never said a bad word about anybody. And one guy came up to him and said, you know, you're so loving and so kind. I mean, people would just rip him in the media and on the internet and maybe not so much the internet back then, was just kind of getting started before he passed, but now they do, and would rip him and on radio and on TV, and he just would love him and never say a bad word, and I'd say, man, you're so loving, you don't say a bad word about anyone, you probably wouldn't even say a bad word about the devil. And he spoke up and he said, well, he is a persistent fellow. And we see that here, because the devil twice now has been rejected by Jesus, and he doesn't stop. He came back again. In verse 9, he says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. See, the devil knows Scripture, and he'll try to twist it. He'll try to make it. But see, you got to take things in context. Glory to God. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot any time against a stone. He's saying, Jesus, I know the word. The Bible says you have angels. Throw yourself down off this mountain. That'd be like saying, you know what? Vinny, we got angels. Go stand in front of a semi. They'll be okay. Vinny's going to be pancake Vinny if he does that, right? It doesn't matter if the Bible says it. You can't test God and be stupid, right? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord, because it'll help people. If you're believing God for your healing, it matters what you eat. It matters how you take care of your body. It matters what you put in your body. If you're believing God to get you out of financial hell, it matters how you spend your money. It matters what you do naturally. You know, you can't expect God to heal you. Your body, you're going through a cholesterol problem and all you eat is McDonald's. You're mocking the Lord. No, I'm not telling you McDonald's is bad. In fact, I like it, you know. I'm a big fan of chicken McNuggets and those things. I don't even know how they're made. People try to tell me, why do you eat those? I say, stop it. I don't want to hear it. I just like how they taste. They're good. But I'm talking about, you know, the doctor tells you to exercise, tells you to do something. You can't expect God to supernaturally heal you when you're not even being smart naturally, right? Or here you are spending all your money doing all these hobbies and recreation, never saving any money, never putting any money aside, never doing anything right with it, always just being so irresponsible, but yet God bless me. No, you have a purse with holes in it. You have a wallet with a hole in it. And don't matter how much God drops in there, it's just going to keep going out and out and out. And so we have to use wisdom, right? So that was for somebody to help them, praise God. But anyways, verse 12, and Jesus answered again a third time and said, it is said, or it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. Well, we learned something, two things in that verse, that you want to get the devil off your back? You want to beat the tests and trials? You know how you beat the tests and trials? Responding the right way. Jesus never got quiet. Notice Jesus never even prayed. Whoa! That blows our religious minds, right? Jesus never got on the phone to call the prayer chain. Did he? Am I saying it's wrong to have people pray? No. What I'm saying is you have the goods to beat the test that's coming your way. You do. You don't. Thank God we can have our pastor pray. We can have people join in faith. But my goodness, don't ever call me and ask me to pray for something out of fear and doubt. Call me and say, Pastor, will you join up with me? We're going to get rid of this thing. Or you call family members or friends. Get people on board with you in faith. You understand what I'm saying? It's not wrong to do those things. The Word says we can. But what I want to show you is you have the goods to do it yourself. Jesus didn't call the prayer chain. He didn't mope and groan and cry and say, oh, I'm the Son of God. Why is this happening to me? No, Jesus just responded right. He knew how you responded was everything. Right? Praise God. And how you respond is everything. And so we see that. That the devil ended his temptation. That's the way to get the test off your back. And it says he departed him for a season. One translation says he departed him and stood off a while until a more opportune time. See, the devil's always just waiting to pounce on you.
Right.
But praise God, we got the answer, don't we? Glory to God, we got the answer. And so we see here that the answer to your tests and trials is responding the right way, saying the right thing. Well, what am I supposed to say? The Word. Do you see that? Jesus didn't just think up something. He responded directly with what the devil was bringing him, with the Word. What am I trying to tell you? When you're going through financial hell, respond with the Word financially, right? Say, Pastor, you hear this all the time. I know, but until everybody starts doing it, I'm going to keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And people get so quiet. People get so quiet during tests and trials. And that is exactly what the devil wants you to do. Because the one thing, actually go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'll show you this. Ephesians chapter 6. See, Jesus opened his mouth, the Word of God came out, and guess who left? The devil. Why? He can't stand up against the Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. You know, I don't want to say pride myself, because we know pride's a bad thing, but one thing I endeavor to do as a pastor is to preach where you live. Not, I don't mean at your house, don't worry about that, but I mean where you live generally in the sense of what you're going through. Give you something that is practical, that you can actually leave here, stuff that I've put into play in my life since I got born again in 2002, stuff that I've seen work in my family, work in other people's lives, stuff that actually, it's like the doctor tells you, go do this. You need to actually, when you hear this stuff, you need to actually do this stuff, right? And, because then you'll get results, glory. I hope we're not up here just putting on a show. I mean, I'm not good looking enough to have you come just because of that. And you know, I'm not an eloquent enough speaker to impress you that. My jokes aren't that funny. And so if we're going to come, let's make sure we're doing what we're saying here and not wasting our time. And if Jesus responded with the Word and saying something, why on earth do you think you're going to get through your trial any other way? Getting down, getting down, getting down, getting down, getting down.